1 John chapter 4, beginning of verse 1, 1 John chapter 4. We're talking about God is greater, folks. Fill it in. God is greater. God is greater. I hope you learned something today. I hope it would be a blessing to you. I'll slow down here now. Let's read together verses 1 through 4 out loud in our King James Bible. Everybody, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Everyone, verse 4, very important verse. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That last part again. Ready? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God's people said. Let's pause for a moment. Father, we bow before you today. We are so just rejoicing, Lord. Sometimes it's hard just to have these frail human bodies because we can't even express with these little feeble stammering tongues the joy that's in our hearts. And so, Lord, sometimes tears flow. Sometimes we shake a little bit. Sometimes, Lord, we just are speechless. And so we thank you, Lord, for your love, your grace, your mercy. Speak to us this morning, Spirit of God, Heavenly Dove, come and hover over this place. We know that there's wickedness that takes place in this building, all around us. And Lord, this is your room right now. And we pray that you would meet with us in a wonderful way. Thank you for the many blessings already. Now help us to drive home this great truth, wonderful truth. God is greater than any problem, any need, any sin, any burden that I have. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Bob and I were leaving the studio the other night after the telecast. You remember what we talked about? I do. Yep, we talked a little bit about evolution, but you made a statement that was a blessing to me. Something along the line that if you don't have a God that can create the world, then your God is too small. Something like that, okay? Probably not exactly the way you had it, okay? The fact is, I think many times we Christians worship a small God in our mind. We're discouraged. We're defeated. We kind of grovel around, kind of wandering our way through life. I want to tell you something, folks. I have a great God. This morning. I said, we have a great God this morning. Amen? Are you with me? Maybe you're one of these little puny Christians who worship this little puny God. I've told you before, there might be a few people that haven't heard this. You go out and you look at the sun. How many miles are we from the sun, Mrs. Lawton? What's that? 93 million? Okay. All the way to the sun, 93 million miles. And all the way back to Earth is another 93 million. Norma, did you know that there are planets out there larger than the orbit of the Earth around the sun? That our orbit could fit inside Antares and Betelgeuse. I mean, solid mass. We're talking like stone, celestial dirt. I'm not talking about space. I'm talking about there are massive stars, planets, larger than the orbit around our Earth. We have a great God. And there's quintillions of those planets. Septillions of those planets. They keep looking and they keep finding massive galaxies. Yeah, a galaxy of galaxies. We're in one galaxy, and they're finding galaxy of galaxies. They're finding whole groups of galaxies. unbelievable. And we live in this area where they can look up. Take some time and go up to the, what's that mount? Not Petoskey. What? Kitt Peak, that's it. Yeah. Anybody been up there? Have you? Is it pretty fascinating, isn't it? Okay. And get yourself a little telescope or something. We're not astrologists. Nothing wrong with being an astronomist and understanding. My dad was a little bit of an astronomist. He understood the greatness of God. He said, oh my, there's no way. He understood the great and he understood the small. They studied the tiny atom. And he said, praise. He said, we don't know what holds the atom together. That's how I came to Jesus. Because there had to be a God to hold that atom together. Those electrons, protons, and neutrons should blow apart. Okay? I'm here to tell you we have a great God this morning. A great God. And He can take care of whatever problem you think is overwhelming you today. He allows us to go through those problems, through those burdens, so that we'll lay prostrate before Him. Thank God for Mo. I like how you pray, Mo. You get right down on your face. Amen. Just have to pray there's clean carpet. Amen. All right. Okay. I'm telling you, God is greater than any problem you have. He's greater than any burden you have. He's greater than any heartache you have. He's greater than any challenge you have. Who's the greatest, somebody says. Bill Gates supposedly is the richest man in America. He's worth, $45 to $50 billion. Warren Buffett's gaining on him. And then there's a man in Mexico that is a telecom magnate. He's gaining on all of them. There's some sultan over in Brunei, right? Quite wealthy as well. Who's wealthy? We don't know. The fact is, God looks down and He says, you know what? The stuff that you're fighting over is what we walk on up here. Amen. Muhammad Ali would say, I'm the greatest. Greatest boxer. Who's the greatest golfer? Tiger Woods. Who's the greatest basketball player? I don't know. Michael Jordan. I don't know. It's debatable, I suppose. I used to watch Michael Jordan play. I hated when the Bulls came up and played the Milwaukee Bucks. I always loved it when the Bucks once in a blue moon would beat them. The fact is, folks, we can talk about all the greatness that man does. It's just a little puny, little tiny, infinitesimal bug compared to the mighty power of God. Okay? We're just little microorganisms floating around in this little speck of dust. And we need it once in a while, every day. We have this great privilege here in Tucson of having clear skies, except for the last 3 days of last week. We're kind of, and yet we hear the mighty power of God through the thunder and the lightning. We see God preaching to us. We see Him speaking to us that I'm greater. I'm a great God. And you know what? I'm not real happy with what's going on down there. Okay? So who is the greatest in spiritual realm? Is it Allah, the demon god of the Muslims? Okay? Who is the choice for liberals now? This God of intolerance, hatred, cruelty, and violence? He the greatest God? I say not. He's not a little speck of dust compared to my God. The Oriental God of Buddha, the so-called God of Peace, or the Oriental God of Confucius. These are all little demon gods, folks, that are leading people astray by the billions. We thank God, thank God for the privilege that we have to be born in America, where the gospel was preached. And thank God for Brother Bill Boulder, who stood up and all those years, for 45 years in Tucson, Arizona, stood and raised up a standard of righteousness in this time. Number one, quickly, write it in here. God is greater than your past failures. Amen? Now, First John, John wrote this book. First John is a book of fellowship and victory. Amen? Fellowship and victory. I'm thankful for this book. It wasn't necessarily the privilege. I guess it was the privilege. I had the task of translating this book. And every word of it, from the Greek to the English. And I found out something. That good old King James Bible's right on. Amen. It's right on. I don't have any reason. What we do is we exposit it. We explain it. But we're not correcting. Those King James translators were geniuses. And I believe they were directed by the Spirit of God to do the work that they did. 1 John 1 and verse 9. Let's read it together. Let's read verse 7. Verse 7, everybody. 1 John 1, 7. But if we walk in the light... Are you with me? 1 John 1, 7. Read it with me, will you? But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I'll read verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, everyone. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And what does verse 10 say, folks? If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not... So He's saying, look, you're going to sin. But I want you to know something. I made a provision for you when you do sin. Isn't that great? So we're going to stumble and fall as children of God. We're going to stumble and fall, folks. But we have a provision. Now, does that mean that I can sin and sin and sin and just 1 John 1, 9 here, 1 John 1, 9 there? No. All right? Let's go over to chapter 5 and let's just see what God has to say about those people who think they can sin and sin and sin. Of course, we go back to Romans and God says, you know, through the Apostle Paul, God forbid, how can we continue in sin? Look what it says here. This is very important. 1 John 5, 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that. He shall pray for it. Folks, we can get so far into sin that God says, you know what? You're such a disgrace to me, I'm taking you home. So don't get the idea that, oh, well, I got a 1 John 1, 9 over here, so, you know, I can do whatever I want over there. No. I thank God. But God is greater than our past failures. And we need to understand that we don't need to focus on our past failures. The Apostle Paul said, what? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And God's people said, are you with me? Amen? I had a message. Don't look behind. Just don't look behind. Move forward. Jesus said He had a straight arrow. He had a straight arrow purpose and vision to go to the cross. Nobody was going to stop Him. Peter said, oh Lord, it would not be so. Get thee behind me, Satan. That's what Jesus said to him. He was headed toward the cross. Nobody was going to get in his way. He knew he had a mission to take the sins of the world upon his own self and die and shed that rich, red, royal, righteous, redemptive blood that we might be saved. Are you thankful this morning? Amen? Boy, I sure am. All right? So, we have a great past failures. All right? He's greater than our past failures. Okay? Of course, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Okay? You see that? He's the accuser of the brethren. What does it say over there in Revelation 12, 10 through 11? Just over a few pages in your Bible. It says that Satan, let's just go over there real quickly. You're right there. Revelation chapter, just over a few pages there in the last book of your Bible. It says there, and I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God. Revelation 12, 10. For the accuser and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. There is a devil, folks, that's accusing us before God day and night. You know what? I don't want to do the devil's work. Amen? It is not up to us to accuse the brethren. That's the devil's work. And so when you gossip and when you accuse a brother or when you attack a brother, okay, to another brother, you're doing Satan's work. And not only that, you're dividing the brethren. That's what it says in Proverbs, and he says he hates that. Right? Now, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to find out, if you haven't found out already, I'm not perfect. And you're also going to find out I'm not Pastor Bowler. I couldn't shine his shoes in many respects. Okay? I'm not a debater. He'd have handled that skeptic a lot better than I did the other night. I'm not a debater. I'm a declarer. I just told the guy, you know what? You get saved, you'll understand these things. You know? I mean, I'm sorry, folks. I didn't come up with all those cute little questions to ask people. I just tell them, you know what? Jesus saved me. Jesus said, if you know my word, if you do my will, then you shall know of the doctrine. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'll work on that. I'll probably do a little more debating. You know, it was all right. I'll go back and look at the tape. Criticize myself a lot harder than you're going to criticize. Anyway, we don't know who's going to call up, right? You want to get on the hot seat? Be my guest. You know? You want to give the answer on Melchizedek? Go ahead. Okay. What I'm trying to say is, I'm where God wants me. I'm comfortable in where I'm at. Okay? I'm in the perfect will of God where we want. He wants us. For a couple of years, Carol and I just kind of served in the background and waited on God. We knew God wanted us in Tucson. We didn't know what His plan was. What on earth did you bring me out in the desert for, Lord? We're used to shoveling snow, you know? I don't miss that anymore. Okay? You're right, brother. It's so humid and yucky, muggy, and yee. All right. What did you say? It's been pretty humid here. Not like up there, though. Okay. Just asking. It's going to dry out. Don't worry, folks. Beautiful day today. Come on. You got to enjoy today, man. All right. What I'm saying is that God is greater than our past failures. Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He's greater than our past failures and our victories. Don't look back and say, well, I have arrived. Bless God. I have a Bible college degree, or I have a bachelor's degree, or I have, the job of my dreams, or I have health and strength and blah, blah, blah. Whatever your victories are, you better forget those too. Just give thanks to God. Give thanks to God. Because otherwise you're going to get proud and arrogant. He's greater than our past failures. He's also greater than our victories. Let's move on. So the Apostle Paul was saying, I'm forgetting those things which are behind. He's saying those things that I counted were achievements for me, I count them but dung. Literally, doo-doo. Okay? He's saying those things, I was Pharisee of the Pharisees, I was of the tribe of blah, 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 you know? He talked all those wonderful pedigree things that he was. And you know that he was a genius, he was brilliant, he was articulate, he was eloquent, he was used of God in a mighty way to plant more churches than anybody ever in the world. God used him as a firebrand for him. This man who loved to see Christians eaten alive by lions, have their bones torn apart by ferocious beasts. And yet those people in that Colosseum or in those circuses were great testimonies to the people in the stands. Thousands of people came to Christ because those Christians were willing to give their lives. Don't think they gave their lives in vain. The blood of those martyrs are the seed of the church, folks. All right, number two, quickly. God is greater than our present struggles. And we're going to stop here. We'll just come back tonight. God is greater than our present struggles. We struggle in three areas. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Let's go there quickly. 1 John chapter 2. What a great book this is. Read the whole book of 1 John, folks. Wonderful book. Wonderful book. One of my favorites. I live in this book. I don't know about you. 2:16. Okay. Let's go back to verse 15. What does it say? And this is a great verse for the contemporary churches of today. Verse 15, everyone. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. 17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. Now what does he say in verse 18, folks? Little children, it is the last time. It is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists. But if it was the last time in the time of John, then what was it now? We're in the last nanosecond, the last days, so we must be in the last nanoseconds. Right? We have Antichrists out there today. We have spirits that, you know, that have always been here, that have been here since the time of creation. Verse 19, what does it say? And they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One. Amen? And ye know all things. So he's saying here, It is not only the book of fellowship and victory, it's also the book of discernment. And if there was a spiritual gift I pray that you would have, it would be the gift of discernment. All right? So, folks, God is greater than our present struggle. Not only our past failures, our present struggles, the world, the enemy is without. Jesus said in John 16:33, "Fear not, for I have overcome the world." We are overcomers. The world can get us down, can it? All right, this dog-eat-dog vulture culture that we live in. What's that like being a guard, anyway? What's that like being a guard? Correction officer. I mean, these guys, they see... I mean, but if I understand prison system correctly, people are coming to Christ at record numbers. Miguel? You say, where's revival taking place? It's taking place in some prison. Some prison. Not all. I had Pastor Jack Lamb call me. Told me about Miguel. "We went after you, man. I was great. I'm coming after you, boy. You getting out? We're coming." Because that's when the devil wants to get you. Okay? Well, the fact of the matter is, we've all messed up, haven't we? We've all got sins. We're not here to throw stones at anybody. I got too much dirt in my own backyard to be throwing stones at you or anybody. All right? The fact of the matter is, the world gets us all down. The devil attacks us through the world. But I want to tell you something. 1 John 5:4 is my promise for you today. All right? What is that? 1 John 5:4. Everybody? "For whatsoever is born of God," what? "Overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith."